Sea Star, A Private Life of Anne Bonny, Pirate Queen, by Pamela Jekyll. Narrated by Jill Mills. Part 1. Cork, Ireland, 1700. Drain, drain the bowl, each fearless soul, let the world wag as it will. Let the heavens growl, the devil howl. Drain, drain the bowl and fill. Old Pirate Song, attributed to Anne Bonny. Margaret Mary Brennan lay in a sweating, unsparing labour for torturous hours. Her once flat and maiden belly was swollen and blotched with the impending birth. Her auburn hair spilled over the coarse linen, and she keened hoarsely to herself between pains.
"Bellow forth all ye want, me girl," the midwife chided. "There's none to hear but me."
Her leather hands deftly pressed and alternately tugged at Mary's trembling limbs, dancing an ancient rhythm over her stretched skin. The light from a smoky farthing dip flickered over the rough stone of the cottage wall. Mary heard the wind from the harbour in the thatched roof through her waves of pain. She imagined she felt the swell and the surge of the sea beyond.
"The wind is high tonight from the bay,"
she gasped. Anything, anything to lead her mind from this tearing agony that knotted her belly like angry fists wrenching wet bedsheets.
"Oi, 'tis a black March wind a-blowing in your wane like a lion."
The midwife glanced from Mary's arching body to the candle, now half gone in the dim light.
"Ye must push with all ye strength now, push to bursting, for ye waters broke near a day ago, and the babe must be born tonight or die."
Suddenly, the midwife leaned forward, wrenched the moaning young woman up by the shoulders, and forced her swollen breasts against the heavy mound of her belly. Mary gasped and writhed. Her eyes flew open in shocked rage. The pain of the sudden jolt forced her to scream out in terror, but she had no wind left to curse. Her dark eyes squeezed tightly shut again, and her white skin mottled red with the effort to breathe. It was her first and only loud cry, torn from her despite her fierce determination to be silent through this birth, her strong desire to keep this babe from the pickthank eyes of the town. Her scream throttled into an animal grunt of wheezing labour.
"I see ahead, a head of hair. Push! Ye must push once more."
The midwife reached for her legs again. With one exhaustive effort, Mary slapped her hands away and pulled her own knees closer to her belly, piercing through her howling pain to sudden deliverance. She felt the bony edges of the child jar through her, then slide as if pulled by a heavy tide. Her trembling legs parted, and she heaved one final time. Mary fell back on the sodden linen, freed of this bloody, mewling infant, a burden she had carried in defiance for 9 long months. Through the grey gauze of oblivion that veiled her mind, Mary heard the midwife chant her litany.
"'Tis a fine girl child with red hair, a fair colleen, perfect as a new day."
The baby waved bloody fists and squalled loud in the fetid room. Mary opened her eyes with deep weariness. She began to pull her violated body back together from within and turned her face from the child.
"A girl child, when I promised him a strong son to spit in her eye."
She closed her eyes to the infant.
"Fetch a wet nurse to quiet her bawling. Then send her father to me."
Mary's hands fluttered feebly up in an effort to smooth her matted hair and wipe her brow. She set her lips firmly and dozed, waiting for William. William Cormack's estate stood back from the harbour of Cork, well up a hill, but still within sight of the bristling black masts of the huge ships that had helped to build the large brick house. In this year of 1700, Cork was a teeming port, the last western land between Europe and the Atlantic, and a sister city to Bristol across the Channel. Her lowland bay refuged 2- and 3-masted vessels from Dublin, Bristol, London, the south coast of France, Spain, Lisbon,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?